shortly.
Excuse me.
That woman does not seem right to me.
Requesting medical assistance in car number 11.
What the?
Get back! Get back, all of you! Shut the door!
This summer.
Sweetie, please stay right here, okay?
Nobody's here.
Please help me.
Get back! Move! Hurry up, kids!
We have to depart right now!
No, we can't leave yet!
Busan Station is still open. We should all go there right now!
The whole nation runs into danger.
Which car?
Car number 13, and please hurry!
Should you stay alive?
After the tunnel.
Now! Are you even aware of what we are faced with?
Get on board now.
Why did you? We could have saved them.
This train simply can't go any further.
Train to Busan, coming soon.
Hello and welcome to the Film and Water Podcast, proud member of the Fire and Water Podcast Network. I'm your host, Rob Kelly, and joining me this week to talk about the South Korean zombie film, I don't think I'd have a chance to say those words in that particular order before, Train to Busan is from the Movie Film Podcast, Brian Hall. Brian, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming on. This was a movie that I don't even remember where I heard about it. I think I probably read an article or something, and then I saw it pop up on Netflix, and I was like, "Oh, cool!" I didn't, this is one of these movies I didn't think I ever really get a chance to see. And then I watched it. I really liked it. And then I know no one else has seen it. And then a couple of weeks later, you and Zachy, who of course he's been on the show too, were talking about movies you saw, and you were like, you know, I saw this South Korean zombie movie, Train to Busan. I was like, somebody else has seen this movie. It's terrific. So finally I get a chance to talk about it. So for anybody who might be interested in this movie, and you know who you are, this movie is available on Netflix, but because it's a new movie, what we're going to do is Brian and I are going to have just a general, very loose discussion, very general about what we liked about the movie or didn't like, with no spoilers. And then I'll have a specific spoiler warning, and then we're going to get into the gritty detail. And it is gritty. The gritty details of this movie. So if you want to just hear general discussions, pay attention to this first part. And in the show notes, I'll give the time code as to when the spoilers start. So, Brian, what led you to, watch this movie in the first place?
Well, I think probably similar to you, I listen to several podcasts, and a lot of times between that and film blogs, you know, the random off the beaten path movie will sometimes get mentioned, and you'll make sort of like a back of your head mental note, like, oh, okay, and the title gets in your head, and you right. sort of forget about it because it's not readily available. Like, I mentioned this a lot on my podcast, but I saw this movie called Fish Story, and it's a Japanese movie about a meteorite about to hit the Earth, and only this punk song that no one's ever heard from the 1970s can save the planet.
Okay.
And I read that on Ain't It Cool, and this guy was like, look, I know this kind of sucks to say it this way. You can't find this anywhere. I saw it at a festival. I loved it. If you can find it, I'm telling you, you're going to love it. And it just always stuck with me. And then I sort of did the legwork and discovered it, and I loved it. Loved that movie, Fish Story. I recommend it to everybody. And then it's funny because then it popped up on Netflix for a year or something, and now you can't find it anywhere.
Oh, geez.
And it's just one of those really frustrating things. So similarly, I heard this on another podcast. Someone mentioned Train to Busan and that it was this zombie movie on a train from Korea, and it was kind of cool and interesting. And it was one of those things where I sort of, again, tucked it in the back of my brain, like, I don't know when I'm ever going to come across this. And then a friend of mine mentioned that he was watching it on Netflix. And I was like, oh, okay. So, you know, it's that little window where this is available to me. So I sort of jumped right on it, and then again was just really pleasantly surprised by this. Everybody's recommendation was right. And it's funny how you had mentioned, we seem to be some of the few people who have seen it.
Right. Yeah. Nobody. Yeah. That was 2 months ago and I heard you mention it, and I still don't know anyone else has seen it yet.
Yeah. So I mean, I'm telling people, recommending it, I really think this is something people would love.
Yeah, I mean, we'll probably I have a few theories as to why that might be, but we can get into that a little later. Just as the setup, in case anybody we didn't get into the sort of idea of what this plot of this movie is. It's directed by Sang-ho Yan, I believe that's how you pronounce it. I apologize if I'm not saying it right. This is his first live action film. He's actually directed a bunch of animated films previous to this, and the film he did right before this one is an animated prequel to this movie called Soul Station. And so this is his first live action film, and it's basically the plot is while a zombie virus breaks out in South Korea, passengers struggle to survive on a train from Seoul to Busan. Very easy, very basic plot. I've seen it described as Snowpiercer with zombies, which I think is unfair. This movie's that's a reductive kind of way to describe it. I think it's got a lot more going on than that. And you know, like a lot of zombie movies, it's just okay. Here's a bunch of characters, and we're gonna watch them react to zombies taking over.
Yeah.
And you've got the dad who is kind of an absentee father, his young daughter, and you've got the businessman who's kind of like, we know that he's gonna be kind of a creep as it goes on. What sport are they playing? Are they baseball players?
Baseball, I think.
Baseball.
Yeah.
Okay. There's the baseball team. They're all young kids. There's this other guy, a character named Sang-hwa, who we don't. I don't think we really know what he does or what his whole gist is. He's skeptical of the father because he knows the father is in banking, and there's like a whole social kind of class thing going on there. And we basically just watch the director put these people through their paces as the zombies start to attack. And the first time I watched this movie, I watched it on my Apple TV, and I have an old Apple TV, and I could not figure out how to turn on subtitles.
Oh.
So I watched this movie with no subtitles, and I was like, all right, I don't understand what's going on.
The whole thing?
Yeah, the whole thing.
Oh, wow.
But I'm like, but it's a zombie movie. I think I could probably follow it, you know, what's going on. And then, other than a couple of dialogue scenes, I was like, well, all right, I'm just following what's going on. And then I had a chance to watch it on my other Apple TV, which does have the prompt for subtitles. So I watched it a second time with subtitles.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And that's where I picked up all the stuff about how the one guy, the Sang-hwa, is sort of got this real grudge on his shoulder. He's got this real chip on his shoulder about the businessman, because he even throws a line about where he says something about, you know, where they're going to run through the one train car to go through the zombies. And he's like, look, if I get stuck, don't stop for me. And he says, you know, basically, you're a banker. You're good at leaving useless people behind. So he's got all, you know, I missed all that stuff the first time. But the movie I thought worked quite well, you know, the first time around. But before we even get into all that, I want to ask you, like, what is your history with zombie movies? Like, do you like zombie movies? Are you sort of like, I've seen too many? Like, did this interest you because it was a zombie movie?
You know, yes and no. I'm not a huge horror person.
Okay.
I tend to like the creepy stuff, or like the thrillers, like nail biter sort of things, like The Shining and spooky stuff, versus, you know, like the sort of slash 'em up stuff. So I think that I'm somewhere in the middle with zombie movies, because there is like the what would you do aspect to all of them. And
right.
I think that's something where I find my in, whereas I don't really get into like the Jason movies or things like that. So like, you know, I like the 28 Days series, and I watched Walking Dead for a little bit, but I kind of fell out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's not even really like a turn on or a turn off. It just has to be there has to be a compelling hook for me to want to see, you know, whatever it is, and like a zombie movie. And I think for this one in particular, which you've already sort of gotten into, it was the characters.
Mm-hmm.
I had heard that it was good, so obviously that's going to get me started. But it really. All this depends. Like, the zombies are just going to do what they're going to do, but it just depends. Like, do I care about who's trying to escape from them?
Right.
And I thought that is exactly what this movie got right. Like, you have, like you said, you have these really broad spectrum of characters. You have the banking father who's not, you know, getting along with his daughter, and you have the blue collar guy and his pregnant wife, and you have these two sisters, and you have this baseball player in love with this girl, and like, it's just a really, really great cast of characters that just – they found the perfect way to bounce them off of each other for 2 hours in ways that I thought were actually all fairly organic and pretty believable. In particular, the villain. You know, like, you just sort of get – he's a jerk, but you sort of get where he's coming from. At the same time, you just don't like how he handles everything. And I think that is like a really your movie lives and dies by the villains, right? So it's like you get the guy that you love to hate, but it's in a scenario where he's not mustache twirling at the same time, and you just and on top of you got zombies to contend with. Right. So, I mean, there's just so much like banging against each other in this movie that's all super enjoyable to watch.
Yeah, I like the idea that the director keeps things. He mostly is honest, and then he keeps the movie on the train for the vast majority of the 2-hour running time. I mean, there's a little bit of an opening where you find out with a very offhanded mention what kind of zombies these are, whether they're, you know, like science zombies or supernatural zombies. I won't say which one it is, but they tell you right up kind of up front, oh, okay, it's this.
Right.
And they're like, okay, now, all right. And that's all the setup you really need. And I like – it reminded me a lot of Shaun of the Dead, where there's these little indications early on that something's amiss, where the main action is going on in the foreground, and then in the background you see like people – they look like they're fighting or they're running or somebody's screaming about something. But it's just far enough in the distance that you could see that somebody would ignore it, because it's not – you know, there's not a horde of zombies coming over a hill. It's a bunch of people squabbling, and you're just kind of like, what's that about? And you're like, oh, that's where this is starting. It's starting slow. And I liked all that. And that I felt that was kind of, you know, Hitchcockian in a way. That phrase is probably used way too often. But I like that slow build. I mean, there's a great moment where the little kid, Su-An, looks out a window and sees a guy get just taken down by a zombie, and because the train is moving, it's completely out of the frame before she has a chance to poke the dad and be like, what? And that to me was like a very Hitchcock thing of like, wait, did I just see that? What? Maybe that I don't know what. And then okay, well, let's just keep going. And I liked all that stuff. It was kind of a nice slow build to, and then of course once the movie gets rolling, it really gets rolling.
That was something that I also really enjoyed, that I want to say right off the top as well, was the filmmaking of this movie. When you mentioned that the director has a history in animation, that makes complete sense, because when you have to build something from nothing, you have like economy and you have to plot exactly where everything is for a reason, and all serving the story that you want to tell, and the tension and the mystery and the reveals. So I found this to be sort of a classically shot movie where there wasn't a ton of handheld. Like, I mean, that's kind of a thing now ever since like Bourne, where it's instead of using the camera as a narrative device, it's more like they're letting all the action happen and the camera just happens to be catching it.
Right.
Which is fine. And that serves like certain movies really well. But I personally, growing up when I did in the 80s and whatnot, like I'm a huge fan of sort of Zemeckis-y, Spielberg-y, sort of, you know, all like the camera is also a narrative instrument, not just capturing the action, but telling me what's happening as well. And like you said, especially I rewatched the trailer right before we hopped on and saw that shot with the guy getting tackled as the train's pulling away. And it's like you say, it's just great little moments like that, and something that I kind of miss from modern movies, honestly.
Yeah.
I feel like you don't see it as much.
Yeah, no, it's true. Yeah, a lot of movies, fight scenes, I'm just like, I don't know what's going on. There's just a lot of things flying in front of me, and I'm like, okay, I'm just going to sort of wait until this is over, and then I'll know who's left standing. Oh, look, Batman is still standing. Okay, I guess he won that fight then. I agree completely. I said this movie is – and you have to wonder if that isn't, you know – the director, again, I'm going to say his name, Song Ho Yeon, isn't like, that's good training, you know? Like, I mean, this is a pretty, I have no frame of reference for how expensive a movie this is. I don't know anything about like South Korean film economy. It looks expensive. I mean, it looks like a big movie. I mean, there are some really big set pieces. There's a whole thing with the zombies attacking on a train station, which is massive.
Yeah.
There's the whole end sequence with a lot of these wide shots of the train depot with all the trains wrecked. It looks, you know, it looks pretty high end, you know, and I have to wonder, it's like he learned how to probably, you know, structure shots using all the animation, because he had directed 4 or 5 movies. It's kind of amazing, really. And you can speak to this because you've worked in the film industry, of like how much it seems to be there's such a dividing line between the notion of, if you work in animation, you can't do live action, which is absurd. And now, luckily, we're seeing that break down a little, like Brad Bird
right.
has made the jump. But, you know, it seems kind of crazy that you couldn't, you wouldn't be able to figure out, well, this person's directed 4 or 5 really great animated films. Well, that means he knows how to pace something. He knows how to structure a story. So why not hand him actors? You know, what's the difference? But there still seems to be that kind of like, no. You know, but I guess in South Korea, this guy was able to make that jump. And I said, I think he proves it quite well. I mean, and he handles the actors very well. I mean, the whole opening scenes with the dad, the scene where he goes to pick up the daughter and he gets her a present.
Yeah.
What did he get her? Like a
Wii.
Oh, buys her a Wii.
Nintendo
Wii, and she looks just so disappointed. And then you look off to the side and you see that there's the Wii already sitting there in the box. Yeah. You know, and he's just like, okay, absent dad. He's just not paying too much attention to this. But yeah, these are all interesting characters. The guy who is ostensibly the villain, yeah, he goes a little further than, you know, most people, but... You know, how would you react if a bunch of zombies attacked it, you know, in a train? I mean, you might think a lot, you know, you might be kind of stuck in that, well, I got to just survive this, especially when there are people who take a lot of risks to save the lives of others in this movie. And, you know, you're worried about that. And so that actor is Lee Sung Kim. The character's name is Yeon Suk. In my notes, I referred to him as Young Suk the A-hole, because that seems to be what he does throughout this movie. I mean, he just, from the beginning, he is just like, okay, I got to survive. And he's even willing to do some really pretty bad things. But I liked all the setup. I said, you care about what's going on. I liked the main baseball player kid. He's really cute. I liked the scene where he meets like the cheerleader girl. And she's kind of like the hottie that all the baseball player boys like, and she's kind of got like the sort of classic Japanese schoolgirl outfit, and she just plops herself down next to this kid.
Yeah.
And I love that she's like, look, I like you. I don't like these other boys. I like you. You might as well just accept it. And I love that. I love that. It's a great little, she's just like so confident, and he's kind of like, oh, okay. He's very, very shy. So, you know, that's like the 5 or 6 main characters, and I, you know, you follow them through the story, and it's like, yeah, if you don't, and I have to think that's, like, maybe part of the reason people don't want to watch this movie is because there were so many bad zombie movies. Like, it's just, you know, it became, the genre just became overloaded. And, you know, people, oh, another zombie movie. And it's like, it's probably hard to pop out from the pack.
Yeah. Yeah. Something, I don't know if this adequately explains it or even makes entire sense, but I was trying to think about why. With what you just said, where there's just so many of these movies, why did I like this one so much in particular? And this is maybe a little too general, but sometimes when it comes to American blockbusters lately, they all start to feel like they have the same flavor. Like they all feel like sort of the same pop song on the radio.
Sure.
And it's a superhero film or it's a space movie or whatever, but they all just kind of, I don't know why, they feel like they came from the same factory, which I mean, I guess is literally probably true in many cases. but it's just, then every now and then you get to watch something from someone who has a different voice and it just feels like a new flavor. It's a familiar story, but just told with a different flavor. And that's exactly how this one felt to me. Like I just got into it and invested in it and thrilled by it in a way that I felt like I hadn't in a while with something like a big movie I'd watched from the summers over here recently.
Yeah. Yeah. I say absolutely about the superhero. I mean, it's like the giant blue beam is going to destroy all, you know, like whatever. That's one of the things I'm looking forward to. But with Wonder Woman, we're recording this as before this episode will drop before Wonder Woman. Like, hopefully there will be no giant blue beam in Wonder Woman. You know,
I just rewatched bits of Suicide Squad on HBO the other day.
Okay,
and I don't know how, but I kind of forgot that had a blue beam in it, and I was like, seriously, like that's like the 40th movie. To like, what, didn't someone like raise their hand at some point? Like, you can still have the epicenter with the villain and whatnot, but. Why a blue beam?
Guys, I'm going to blow your mind. Green beam. Right. Like, oh, my God. Here's a raise. Oh, this is great. this movie does. You know, I said I've seen a lot of zombie movies. I don't know whether – I guess I probably am more of a horror aficionado than you because, again, you've talked about it here and you've mentioned it on Movie Film. I saw some of the basic ones, you know, like Night of the Living Dead and Day of the Dead and mostly the Romero movies. Mm-hmm. And then in the 90s, I started seeing a lot of Italian horror movies, and I'm not familiar with those. And it was mostly because some friends of mine have a company that shows old movies on the big screen, and I would go to these screenings, and they're big horror guys. Mm-hmm. And I would watch Italian horror movies and especially zombie movies, and I'm not sure if you're familiar with Italian horror, but a lot of Italian horror just happens because it does. There is no right. plot. There's the movie Demons, which is zombies in a movie theater. And the first time I saw it, I was like thrown because I'm like, why are they zombies? I don't understand. And I couldn't get into it. And then I realized, oh, that's not the point. It doesn't matter. The whole point is there's zombies in a confined space. And
right.
How are people going to react? That's what matters. And that's kind of what this is. I mean, again, other than the one offhanded mention of why this is happening, it really is just how would you react if you were trapped in this situation with mm-hmm. flesh-eating zombies? And, you know, one of the new little tricks that I think the director brings into this is the idea that the zombies are clumsy and stupid,
mm-hmm.
Which I like. Like, I mean, there's the point where they're all in the one door. They're all in the one train car, and all the humans make it into the other train car. And the one woman has the idea of putting up the newspaper over the yes. glass, and you hear them, like, start to calm down on the other side of the door because they can't see anymore. Like, I like that idea. You hear them, like,
yeah.
And they
yeah,
get all quiet.
Yeah. And the rules, and they're so matter of fact and simple and just presented, and you just, oh, that's how they work. Okay.
Yeah. It's like, and the idea that you can, they're almost like dogs where you can distract them. I mean, there's the whole bit about one of them grabs a phone and sets an alarm to go off and then throws the phone, and the phone makes a noise down the, you know, at the end of mm-hmm. the train car, and all the zombies are like, rah, and they run around, and they just, I like that idea that the zombies can at least be dealt with on that, because of course, these are running zombies that mm-hmm, they can book, and if they bite you, you're going to turn into a zombie like 10 seconds later. I mean, they replicate at a huge clip. So you have to have some way to give our humans a chance. And so by making them clumsy and stupid, I liked it when zombies jump off of things and a lot of them will miss. And they just fall and break their arms. like the idea that, like, not just because you're a zombie doesn't mean you're, like, also an acrobat. You're actually, you're just dumb, and you can fall and break your head even though you're a zombie.
Yeah, and then you get to, I know we're kind of avoiding spoilers, but just you can come up with, once you establish those rules, I thought the movie came up with fun ways. Because, I mean, if you're stuck on a train with these zombies, you're trying to get from A to B. And how many times can you make that interesting?
Right.
For the duration of a film. But I thought they just kept coming up with really clever ways to come up with new obstacles for our heroes and new ways to sort of distract the zombies. Yeah, I mean, I guess we can get into that a little bit more later. But I was really impressed with how it just kept finding the new thing for me to be like, oh, well, how are we going to contend with this?
Yeah, it's a solid screenplay. I would think that a lot of horror movies, they probably have, you know, very basic screenplays, and they're like, all right, we got the zombie makeup, let's go. But this feels like he really thought this through about, you know, all right, I got 2 hours here. And you could argue maybe this film's maybe a little too long at 2 hours, might have been, could trim, you know, like a 10-15 minutes out of it. But for the most part, he keeps the balls in the air. And you mentioned spoilers, and we're going to get into spoilers right now. But the one last thing I will mention pre-spoilers is I love that when the government starts alerting people via their phones about zombies, and it was like, to find out more about zombies, and it literally says on the screen, type in keyword zombies. That's a terrifying notion to get from your government. Keywords, hashtag zombies, like, what's happening? that's more terrifying than anything else. So for the idea that a zombie attack has been sort of codified into a keyword that you can find on the internet, that's terrifying. But yeah, we're going to get into spoilers now. So again, Brian and I think, Brian, you recommend this movie, right? Very heartily.
Definitely. And even to people who aren't fans of horror films, like I was even thinking like my dad might like this movie. He would go nowhere near a zombie movie, but it's just such a compelling, fun movie. Like just a total interesting characters in this, like, what would you do scenario. And it's really grounded not in some sort of post-apocalyptic world. It's sort of, I say this all the time on my podcast, but my favorite movies, again, probably because of when I grew up, but they're something fantastic happening in my backyard. I love those movies. And so this is one of those things where it's like, no, like, imagine where you live and this sort of thing happening, and how would you survive? Not somewhere in the near future, not some sort of landscape that you have no tools or phones or whatnot. Just real world, what would you do in this scenario? And it's fun, and it's stirring, it's moving. I teared up at parts. It's great. I highly recommend it.
Yeah, I do too. And for anybody who is listening who is maybe, like, I do want to talk about the gore quotient because some people are just thrown off by that. It's not terribly gory.
I think of it more almost as an adventure film than a horror movie. Yeah.
I mean, look, you definitely see people get munched on. There's no doubt about that. But there just isn't a whole lot of, like, the viscera. Basically, somebody bites, you see somebody go, ah, you know, and there's blood on their neck, on their face, or whatever. But you don't, you know, there are other movies I've seen that are way more gory than this, you know.
It doesn't seem to relish in the kills.
Yes, that's a great way of putting it. I think it's like he wants to show you the horror of it, and, you know, some people take longer than others to get munched on, which is awful. But in terms of, it's just not that gory. So if gore is the thing that maybe separates you from wanting to see it, I would say don't worry about that part of it. It's definitely a horror movie, but it's not a gore movie. So we would both recommend it. So if you're going to watch it on Netflix, stop here and go watch it. And then you can come back and we're going to do spoilers now, talk about all the nitty gritty of Train to Busan. So now we're on the other side of this. I do want to ask you a philosophical question, Brian.
Okay.
Do zombies feel pain?
I think it depends on which story you're watching, right? I mean, you have that Warm Bodies movie, right?
Right,
where the zombie falls in love with the girl. And I feel like in my limited knowledge of zombie movies, it seems to me that once you turn into a zombie, that little flicker turns off.
Okay.
Right? And then you just sort of become this vessel, brainless vessel in search of food.
Okay. Because the reason I ask is because there's a great set piece at the end where our hero and the pregnant woman and his daughter and the rich guy. I mean, I don't even know that he's a rich guy, but just like the businessman guy, the other guy, the a-hole. Mm-hmm. They make it onto this one single train car that is taking off. And one zombie grabs onto like a handle and just, you know, is just being dragged along the gravel, right? So then you've got two more zombies and they grab onto that zombie. And then it becomes this horrible pyramid where they're all grabbing onto each other, and you start seeing the train car slow down because of the sheer weight of all these zombies, which I think is a great set piece, like a great idea. Mm-hmm. So the dad, he realizes what's happening. So he goes to the end of the car, and he starts kicking the one zombie in the arm so the zombie will let go. And as I watch that, I'm like, well, wait a minute. That only works if the zombie feels pain, because there's no other reason for the zombie to let go. And is that zombie going, ow, 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 ow? You know,
That's a great point. You would have to hack that arm off.
Right, exactly. I mean,
I didn't even think about that.
I've always said in those movies, like the Friday the 13th movie, you mentioned those earlier, like any of those movies where you have like a killer, you know, and of course the movie is over if people do the thing they should do, and that's why they don't do it. But if I like to think, if I was being chased by a, you know, Leatherface, and I managed to knock him out long enough that I could, I would hack off his head or his leg so he can't chase me anymore. He might come alive again, but at the very least, it'll be slowly. I mean, he can't.
Yeah.
So the one zombie gets kicked in the arm enough that he falls off. And that makes me say, oh, well, okay, these zombies on some level do feel pain, because otherwise he would just hang on indefinitely unless, like you said, he hacks the arm off. Now, but then there's other scenes where the one zombie falls off the train and like lands on his arm, and his arm is like behind his head at like a 90-degree angle. And clearly, if you had suffered that injury, you and I would be screaming in bloody murder. That zombie just gets up and runs around. So I'm like, okay, well, then they maybe don't feel pain. Like, it didn't – I'm not saying it as a criticism. It didn't bother me. But I just thought it was interesting that you could get away from the zombie by just kicking them when it probably doesn't really affect them in any great way.
Yeah, yeah. It's not like he's going to be like, hey –
yeah, what are you doing? One thing that I thought was maybe accidentally a little comical is that there's like the two old ladies that are friends. And the one, I don't know the name of the actress that plays the old lady that survived. Because the one, there's two old ladies.
They're sisters, right?
Are they sisters? Okay, maybe they are. Yeah. So the one sister gets bitten. and she ends up on the other side of the glass, and the alive sister is of course sad because she's looking at her sister with the vacant eyes and, you know, whatever. And the actress they cast as the sister that survives, like, to me, she looked a little too young to play an old lady, and like the wig they gave her,
yeah,
it made her look like Vicki Lawrence from Mama's Family. Every time they cut to her, I kind of laughed a little. Like, she's not that old. I don't know what, you know, you couldn't find an older lady to do the zombie movie.
That is a spot on comparison of that wig.
She's going to hit the zombies with her purse or something. It was like, that was a little strange. But, I mean, other than that, just again, very minor criticism. But the main guy, the main character, the actor Yu-Gong, who's the dad, like, I like that it takes him a while to kind of become the hero of the movie.
It takes its time. Yeah, I was really impressed because I kept wanting him to advance faster.
Right, right.
But, like, yeah, I appreciated that the movie really took the entire length of the movie for him to have his full arc. It was pretty patient in that way.
Yeah, I mean, these guys are constantly met with the idea of course, as they're going from train car to train car, they have to constantly worrying about shutting the door. To the zombies. And of course, if you're shutting the door, you are potentially locking out other humans, and it becomes this, you know, grand battle of wills. And I like that you've got the other guy again. I've mentioned him, Don Suk Ma, playing Sang Hwa. He is like the hero from the beginning. He's very brave from the very beginning. I mean, the minute they realize they can take on the zombies and he just starts strapping his arm with tape.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, you are showing a lot of faith in that masking tape that the zombies aren't going to be able to bite through that. But he just wails it. Like, I like the contrast that our main hero is not quite so brave, but you got this other guy who is just like, all right, I got to go punch zombies. I'm going to go punch zombies. Like, he just handles it.
Yeah, and then the way he goes out is just so satisfying and heroic.
Yes. Do you want to mention how he goes out?
Well, basically, he holds the zombies at bay, so the father and his wife and his daughter's with him at that point, right?
Yeah.
So they can get away, but he has to hold the zombies, and so he just fights them until they overtake him.
Yeah. Oh, it's there's a lot of him like holding door. There's the great scene in the train station where he's trying to lock the glass door and they're pounding on it, and he's, you know, and you're like, again, this guy is showing a lot of chutzpah. He's showing a lot of, you know, humanity. I mean, you know, with any zombie movie, you know, you're like, is this movie saying something or is it just a gore fest? And this movie, of course, is not saying anything terribly profound, but it's saying something to the effect of, you know, well, what's the point of maintaining your humanity of your life if you give your humanity up when push comes to shove? Mm-hmm. And that's what happens with the older guy, because he literally starts grabbing some of our heroes and throwing them into the line of zombie fire so he can survive, which you're like, you son of a bitch.
Oh, he is just – it's so much fun to hate that guy. Because he messes everything up for everyone.
Yep.
All the way to the end.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I never found myself going, oh, come on, from what he was doing. I just found myself continually going like, oh, I hate this guy.
Yeah, he's plausible. I mean, like, you could see why in any given situation he does what he does. But at the same time, when he throws the girl, the teenage girl, that one really – because the baseball player, he really fights hard to save her.
Mm-hmm.
And he clearly, like, does like her. And he is very brave. Like, he's out there with his bat, and he's mowing down zombies with bats. And then when the girl gets it because the businessman literally throws her in his way, so the zombie gets her, that's the one where you're like, all right, you're not coming back from this.
He's irredeemable.
He thought about it. He did it, and he throws a child to get munched on, and you're just like, okay. And he gets a slow death, the businessman, finally. He turns into a zombie slow enough that he knows he's turning into a zombie, which I'm guessing is the director's way of giving him his just desserts, is that it's like, I guess it would be bad enough to be turned into a zombie, but it would be worse to be cognizant of it. Like, right. That would be that much worse.
To confront your punishment, yeah.
Yeah.
And speaking of, I wanted to bring up one of the things. I mean, I was with this movie from the start, and like you said, that wonderful moment with the Wii at the beginning, that's just like clever storytelling. It's really but a moment that really got me was when the baseball player enters the train car and sees that his whole team has been turned into zombies.
Yeah.
So basically they're having to go from cart to cart, and they're just you know, knocking out whoever gets in their way. But then all of a sudden this boy has to kill or knock out all of his friends.
Yeah.
Who were, or they're zombies now, but they were his friends as of like 40 minutes ago.
Right.
And it's just too much for him. And, oh man, I was like, what a great idea. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, when you see him get it, you put your, you know, my head went down. I was like, oh, you just,
yeah.
I mean, look, I know you can't cheat and have all your main characters survive and just have the bad, you know, the train conductor gets it and he's a heroic guy and, you know, but it's, yeah, I mean, it is that movie where you do care about these people. And when you see them fall, one by one, it is just like, oh man, you know. But again, this is a massive. I mean, I like that when they get to the train station and the army shows up and all the army are zombies. I mean, you're just like, yeah. It's just one of those. Oh, son of a bitch! Because it just all of a sudden there's 1,000 zombies in combat boots chasing after you. You're just like, you never get a chance to take a breath or any moment, and you're just like, oh, just one. It's like just one punishing thing after the next. Right. And I mean the whole final scene in the train station where it's the trains are meeting up and some of them have crashed, and just like I couldn't tell. I have to assume that most of that is CGI, but I couldn't tell.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I didn't even think about it.
Yeah, I didn't. You know, I mean, like I saw. Did you see World War Z?
Yes.
Okay. Like I thought the movie was okay, but there were parts of it where I'm like, these are just CGI ants. This doesn't look remotely real, but I never got that in this movie. It looked like real people to me. It looked, you know, I don't know how he did it, but it looked, they all looked real to me. And even in the moments where he does kind of have some fun with, there's a great moment where I mentioned the zombie that's hanging on at the end of the train, when the main guy kicks him off, that zombie bounces off the ground and into the camera, and the camera shakes a little, which I thought was like a fun little, you just see the zombie's face like, and he bounces over the thing. I was like, okay, we're having fun now here. There's, you know, but I mean, I really thought it was a pretty seamless execution of practical effects and CGI, to the point, like you just said, I thought about it afterwards. I was like, wow, that must have been a lot of CGI, but I couldn't tell.
Yeah, no, I don't remember much of anything taking me out of the film.
Yeah. It's just, you know, really well done. And, you know, the idea, and, you know, the idea that the government, like, I hate to say this because it's, you know, well, I'm not really worried about zombies attacking, but, you know, but, you know, like, it is an interesting idea of how quickly probably things would fall apart if something like that happened. There really would not be a concentrated government response. You know, I mean, it would, like, things would go bad very quickly. And I don't know about anything about South Korean politics. I don't know what their view is of their government, whether they have faith in their government that they, you know, I don't have faith in our government right now. It's kind of at a low point. And so, you know, if there was a zombie outbreak, I'd be like, yeah, we're done. We're pretty much done. I'm not expecting FEMA to rescue me. From the zombie outbreak. I think things would fall apart very quickly. But maybe the idea that at the end of this movie, where our hero doesn't survive, and we're left with the pregnant girl and the young daughter, like I get the sense there's some level of a happy. I mean, as much of a happy ending as you can get, but it's some level of a happy ending.
Oh yeah, sorry.
No. When
the father gets bit and he's inevitably going to turn, I was thinking. I mean, this movie. I was devastated, but then I'm like, well, okay, he's going to have to off himself. But how this movie has been pretty tasteful, you know, in a lot of ways, and so I was like, how are they going to do this? Like, how are they going to do this in a way that is satisfying and feels heroic, but doesn't bum me out and completely take me out of the movie and feel like overwrought? Mm-hmm. And then when they had that shot where it showed his shadow at the edge of the train car against the rocks, sort of like swaying a little bit, I was like, oh, bravo. Like, that was such a wonderfully artistic way to show that, I thought. I don't know. That really stood out to me as like a great, great choice.
It gives him like dignity.
Yes, you know? Dignity.
You see him, you start to see him turn. I think you even see his eyes get all white, I think, at some point, or they start to fade, but you never see him fully become a zombie. And I agree totally. I think that silhouette shot is great as he just lets himself fall, because he obviously, you know, I mean, that's an interesting, you know, another sort of theory of zombies. Like, if you die before you become a zombie, do you become a zombie or do you just die? You know, I guess he's hoping that he'll just die.
Right.
And that he doesn't come back as a zombie. And I like to think that he doesn't come back. Like, he just dies. And that's
beats it to the punch.
He beats it to the punch and that's it. But I mean, so, I mean, the ending moment where they're in the tunnel and you've got the soldiers waiting on the other side and the young girl starts to sing the song that she sang at the recital that the dad was at.
Missed.
Yeah. And, you know, I get the sense that, like, the zombie... like, the zombies will be handled by the government. I don't know. Maybe, again, maybe I'm reaching. But I felt like the way, even though we've been through hell, this poor kid has watched her father turn into a zombie. It has some level of an upbeat ending, but it's not all just misery. It's not like the remake of Dawn of the Dead where all the good guys get away. And then, oh, at the end, they've been eaten by zombies in the end. This movie actually gives you something, some tiny version of an uplift. Did you take it like that?
Yeah, I think I did. I subconsciously, for the reasons that you just said, it seems like they got to a place where everything is being handled and they have the barricade and people on watch to make sure that nothing bad gets through. So yeah, but I really love that scene as well, because I was thinking like, oh, okay, here we go, wrapping things up. But then they add that extra element where the soldiers with the sniper rifle aren't sure what to make of the daughter and right. the pregnant woman. And you're like, oh no. Like,
yeah.
I love how the movie just doesn't let up until the credits roll.
Yeah.
That was a really well-done, tense sequence for me.
Yeah, I mean, because you were thinking, are they going to Night of the Living Dead this? You know, it's like, our hero going to get it? You know, I mean, that would be pretty dark if you put a bullet in the head of a small child. But, you know, it is a zombie movie, and it could happen. But, yeah, it does have that. It's a very nice, poetic, quiet ending for this two-hour you know, rampage of zombies dripping through. And so, yeah, I think it's a really solid movie. And I, you know, my knowledge of foreign film is very lacking. I've only seen a handful out of the you know, millions of great movies out there. But this is like one of those things where whenever I hear whatever this guy's next movie is, I'm going to give it, you know, like, oh, okay. Like, just on the strength that it's him directing it, it's going to make me make an extra effort to hunt it down. Because I was like, I think this is a terrific movie. This guy is showing a lot of skill. And so I'm kind of on board now with whatever he might want to do next.
Completely agree. And it's one of those things, like you said, I feel like for foreign films, I've seen the odds and ends and things that are recommended to me. But when I watch something like this, it makes me wonder, oh, like, what am I missing out on? Like, I want these great ones to, you know, put in front of me so I can enjoy them.
Yeah, it's great that Netflix got it, and I'm glad it's still around. It's been up there a couple of months. So my very last comment about this movie is, wow, the phone batteries are great in this movie. these people get to have their phones all day of constant use, and their batteries have never worn out. I do like three IMDb searches and my battery's like, you're at 20%. These people are using them practically as grenades and shit, and they just keep working. So I don't know what their phone providers are in South Korea, but those are good phones.
Sign me up.
Yeah, those are give me that zombie plan, whatever that is you have for your phones, because they're terrific. So yeah, this is a really terrific, great adventure horror film. And for anybody that has an interest in in that kind of movie, I totally would recommend it. I mean, we've spoiled it a little now that anybody's paying attention to past the spoiler part, but it's a really, really great movie.
Yeah, I think people are still going to enjoy the thrill. Even if they did get this far, I think they'll still enjoy the fun and the thrills of it. One of the things that always stood out to me too, even though it wasn't like a major, major set piece, was the moment where they're crawling underneath the overturned train car.
Oh, and you see great, the zombies great on the window. Set piece.
I mean, what a great idea. Like, they just keep coming up with new interesting scenarios for our characters to have to pass through.
Yeah.
So, when you start this thing, I kept thinking, like, how are you going to do this and keep this interesting for 2 hours? And they just do. They keep coming up with all these inventive set pieces. Yeah, it's so much fun.
Yeah,
and the homeless man. We didn't even talk about him, but he's a great character.
Oh yeah,
as well.
The homeless guy. Yeah, there's a lot. Yeah, we didn't even. There's, you know, like a half dozen other characters.
Yeah,
that pop into the frame that fill things up, and they've all got their own levels of survivability and their inherent dignity and things like that. There's great scenes of people trapped in little bathrooms. I mean, it really said they really thought this through, and You know, like anything, I mean, it's got to be the screenplay. You know, you got, if you don't have a great screenplay, you're really not going to be able to do a whole lot. But I really felt like he took the premise. It's almost, again, I mentioned Hitchcock, but I mean, Hitchcock liked to do that. Hitchcock liked to say, okay, I'm going to put this entire movie in a lifeboat. I'm going to do this entire movie in an apartment. I'm going to do this entire movie in this one room in an apartment. I'm going to do one. And so, you know, if you're going to set yourself that challenge, you've really got to come up with inventive ways to keep the audience interested. If you're not interested in ramping up the gore, which of course he is, this film is not, you've got to come up with inventive ways of just keeping things fresh. And they do that. And yeah, that we didn't mention that whole train sequence, that whole notion of the train might fall on them, and it creates like a little tent between two trains and they have to crawl under there. I mean, that's a great scene. I said, this is a really, it'd be interesting to see if this guy moves on to horror, another horror movie, or whether he does like an adventure movie.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just sort of the sense I got from it. Like we had mentioned earlier, like it really doesn't zero in on the kills necessarily. Like those are just there so you know what the threat is and you want our heroes to move faster. But yeah, it just felt like an adventure film to me.
Yeah. Let this guy do a Indiana Jones movie or something.
Yeah. Hey, I'd be all for it. I mean, it is amazing how many movies just don't get the characters right. Mm-hmm. You know, it's more about what's happening around them. And when I think of this movie, I think of the characters.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I think, why people who aren't even that into zombie movies, I think you just can't help but get swept up in this story because it, first and foremost, is an enjoyable story.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah, I think we're going to leave it here. That is Train to Busan. It's on Netflix. You can watch it. I suggest watching it with the subtitles. Don't do it like the way I did. Watch it with the subtitles. It does help. So, Brian, thank you so much for doing this, man. This is, you know, I don't talk about enough foreign films on the show. I think I've only covered one previously in like the 97 episodes I've done previously. And this was like, you know, just one of those movies that I even considered doing a show on by myself because I was like, I don't know anybody that's watched this. And, you know, and then the minute I heard you say, I was like, oh, this is perfect. And so I really appreciate you coming on. And I love movie film podcast that you and Zachy do. You guys are a great pair. If anybody, I don't think there's anybody that listens to my show that doesn't listen to movie film, but in case there isn't, go subscribe to movie film podcast. Zachy and Brian are a great, great duo. So that's a great show.
I really appreciate you saying that. And this has been a blast. This went so fast.
Yeah, it zipped right through. It's as if zombies were just running through the train. So what's the show that you're working on? So people know what show you write on.
Yeah, currently I'm writing for an animated show called Puppy Dog Pals, which you can find on Disney Channel and Disney Junior. And I tell everybody, if you have kids or if you love puppy dogs getting into adventures or both, you should check it out because it's a lot of fun.
That covers all the bases. Because most people have kids. If you don't have kids, who doesn't love dogs, for God's sakes? It's everything.
It's funny because I've had friends that have checked it out just because I recently started there. They wanted to check it out to support me. And they're like, yeah, and I've kept it in my DVR.
There you go. You can't ask for more of a credit than that. It's still sitting on your DVR. It's a credit. So anyway, thanks everybody for listening. Of course, you can find all the episodes of this show over on our network site, which is fireandwaterpodcast.com. And we can talk about movies and stuff on the Twitter feed, which is @filmandwaterpod. So again, Brian, thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it. Everybody go check out Train to Busan on Netflix. And until next week, that's a wrap.